Church,
and
good morning to you, God. I have kind of like three sort of mini sermons here, and I'm going to put them together for you, I hope, in a way that flows. The first thing I have is continuing with our exploration of how the music in the church and the words of our hymns and songs are part of the actual worship, not just things that we sing because they sound nice or they rhyme or whatever, but the words of the hymns that we use are important. And the one that it just kept coming to my mind over and over again. Wasn't on the agenda to sing today, and we may or may not get to sing it at Easter, but there's a hymn, Lift High the Cross. Is there anybody who is not familiar with Lift High the Cross? Lift High the Cross. The grace of God proclaim. Okay. It was written by a gentleman, and then it was later revised specifically as a hymn for the crucifer, to welcome the crucifer with the cross into the church. And it was said to have commemorated Constantine's conversion to Christianity. It is one of the quintessential processional hymns, and I'm sure that somewhere along the line you have heard it sung. The original version was 11 stanzas, and if we do ever sing it, we won't sing 11 stanzas, plus the refrain. And it was written specifically, as I said, for a festival service under the auspices of an important mission organization, the Society for the Propagation of the Gospel, which was held in Winchester Cathedral in 1887. So Michael Niebolt wrote the words, and Mr. Kitchen, I can't find his first name right now, wrote the music, and they were put together. And there have been several revisions of the verses, and depending on what church's hymnal you pick up, it might be slightly different, but it was written in the context of an Anglican celebratory hymn to lead in to worship. And if you think about that in the context of our reading today, when Jesus tells his disciples and the listeners to pick up the cross, how much more glorious can it be for us to enter into church saying, lift high the cross, the love of God proclaim. So I thought that was pretty fun. So there's a saying that people use, and sometimes, a lot of times, it's in a context of when something is troubling them, or something isn't going right, something particularly catastrophic. And they come to this place where they say, well, that's his cross to bear, or that's my cross to bear. And with the implication that carrying this cross that you have to bear is difficult, and you just have to deal with it. Certainly, when our Lord carried the cross, it was difficult. And indeed, it was his cross to bear, but Jesus overcame the burden that the cross represented. Likewise, when we consider that we have a cross to bear, we should not give in to the burden, but celebrate the fact, just as Jesus did, and to consider what Jesus did when he bore his cross to a victory place. And if we can take our crosses and lay them down at the cross of Jesus and bring ourselves to a victory place, I think that it would help us deal with the things that come at us in life. Jesus certainly bore a cross much greater than anything I can possibly imagine. And he did it for us so that our crosses would not be heavy. Our crosses would be light. And that's when we have to really remember that when we feel like that we have a cross to bear, that we reach out to Jesus and know that he's with us, and that will make it so much easier, at least it does for me, to get through that difficult time. So thinking about that, what does it mean to bear a cross? What is the cross that is cumbersome for you? What are you, is it in your life that you are finding difficult to carry? And how can you exchange the weight of that difficulty for the promise of a much lighter burden that is offered to us as Jesus overcame the ultimate burden? So as we consider the cross and what it means to us and how we think about what the cross is, one of the things that always fascinated me about the idea of the cross was people who are not Christian would come up to me and say, well, that was the way people were put to death for crimes. If Jesus were shot with a bullet, would you wear a bullet around your neck? Of course. But he wasn't. And so we have to remember that anything like that is a distraction. Just like Peter got distracted by what he thought was the right thing to do, what he thought, who he thought Jesus was supposed to be, a king, a political king that would come and make everything right. Jesus had already made it quite clear in what he was saying that that was not the case. You have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross and follow me. To save your life, you must lose it. And if you lose your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will save it. So what that says to me is that what we have to do is that all those things that we hold on to, all those things that we put before Jesus, we have to give them up. And we have to take Jesus into our hearts in place of those things that lodge there. We can't be ashamed of who Jesus is. When someone comes at us with something ridiculous like, would you wear a bullet around your neck? We just have to remember to think in our mind, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus will be proud of all of us when he comes in glory with his Father and the holy angels. So I want to keep up with another theme that I've sort of started, which is the theme of the invitation to a holy Lent and how that invitation can guide us through Lent. I'm going to remind us that the items are to observe a holy Lent, self-examination, repentance, prayer, fasting, self-denial, reading and meditating on God's holy word. These are crosses that we can lift up. These are crosses that we can look to as a place to put the pain of these things or even the joy of these things, either in submission to Christ or in thanksgiving to Jesus. Whenever I have found, this is personal, whenever I have considered the self-examination and repentance, I have always found that I realize that it's not all bad stuff that I find out about myself. But what I do is I continually say, well, you know, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, so you need to repent for that, forgetting the things that I did do. And in self-examination, glorifying Christ. One of the most powerful images of the cross that I could share with you is there's a weekend event. It's called the Walk to Emmaus. It's in the Episcopal Church. It's Curcio. And one of the things in that weekend is that you share the burden of a cross, a wooden cross, life-size, made from trees. And you carry that, and then you set it somewhere, and then you take something that you want to give to God and nail it to that cross. And then those things are taken off, and they are destroyed, burned, never to be in your path of success again. We did something a little bit differently at a church I was at. We had somebody make us a cross, and we carried it through downtown. And as we carried it, we sang hymns and songs, whatever came to our mind. And it was an ecumenical event. There were five different denominations represented. And it was one of the most powerful things that I've ever experienced, of just holding up that cross, lifting high that cross, and taking it through a street and a town where who knows how many people were not believers. So part of what all of this is kind of piecing together for me, and I hope for you all, is there's different ways that we can proclaim the cross. We can lift it high in song and in glorification. We can look to it as a place to lay our sins, our burdens down at the foot of the cross. And we can lift it up as a symbol to the world of the light of Christ that cannot be extinguished. Prayer. We all need to continue to pray. Fasting doesn't have to be about food. It can be about something that you enjoy doing that keeps you from spending more time with God. And reading and meditating on God's holy word. So that's what we are called to do during Lent. To cast our sins away and have the courage to begin again. And to believe and know that the Easter story is indeed true. I've already said this more than one time. During the Eucharist we say the words, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Do we mean that? It's so easy to profess these three things, but not so easy to comprehend them. We can get to the Christ has died part, we can get to the Christ has risen part, but the Christ will come again part takes a lot of work for me in my heart and my spirit to accept. It's been so long since people expected him to come. And over again, you see weird things. People going to mountaintops or standing on street corners or all kinds of things because they're sure that on this day, the world will end. And we have to remember that Jesus told us we won't know. We just have to be ready. We just have to be ready. We have to take care of ourselves and our relationship with God. We have to take care of ourselves in relationship to one another. And we have to carry the light of Christ wherever we go. We have to reclaim Jesus. Amen. Please stand. We believe